Good morning. You can turn to Galatians chapter 4. We'll get there in a few minutes. I'm thankful to God to be able to bring this lesson to you all, to be back with you. I was gone last Sunday and Wednesday being at a camp with many of these kids, and it was great. It was a really good week. So glad to be back with you all. And we are going to be starting a series focusing on Christ in you, and we'll see if this will connect. Is there anything that I need to do? Nope, there's something Jason needs to do. I will make this announcement that VBS is starting in 2 weeks and 2 days. So that is June 24th through 27th. You may have noticed that Eric has put flyers for the VBS out there in the lobby with a code that you can grab on your phone, and so you can sign up even today for VBS. It's the box. It's not this. He's saying. You might need to. There we go. Great. Okay, sorry about that delay. VBS is starting in 2 weeks and 2 days. That is starting on June 24th. And this flyer is out in the lobby, so you can grab that with your phone and register even today for that. We are really hoping that middle school and high school teens will come help us out. It's not busy work, it's helpful, needed work, and so we'll be getting in touch with you about that. But if you completed seventh grade and up, you know, we hope that you'll be able to join us in that and work the day of. And you'll see that sign up form. Hopefully we can even email out today. Okay, I'm going to start with this quote. I don't, you know, usually start with a quote like this. But I got this quote from my mom on Facebook recently. I'm not sure exactly what it was about this quote that inspired her to send it to me. Maybe it was the suffering and the pains that I've caused her that made this quote feel appropriate to send my way or something. But C.S. Lewis said, "If you think of this world as a place intended simply for our happiness, you will find it quite intolerable. Think of it as a place of training and correction, and it's not so bad." That is a quote that, when I saw that recently, I thought, I want to think more about that. I hope that this lesson is along those lines of helping us to think more along the lines of the wisdom that we see in that. Our theme for the year, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. And this next series I would like to do, God willing, is going to focus on different ways that that shows up in the Bible, in the New Testament. And this whole concept of God being in you, Christ being in you is a rich idea, not just presenting about one thing, but about multiple things that we can wrap our minds around. And so if you're thinking of it in terms of Christ in you, or in terms of the Spirit of God in you, or the Father in you, all of those are different ways of communicating spiritual truths, and they're not presented as just one thing, but multiple things. Today we're going to focus on character transformation, and that's maybe where our mind goes most naturally. But this whole idea of Christ in you also then teaches us about our status as sons. That if Christ is a son and Christ is in us, that makes us sons as well. The Spirit of God in you has to do with the inspired word. It has to do with life from the dead. And the Father being in you, think like the Gospel of John, the Father's in me and I'm in the Father and me in you and the Father in you and all those things. This idea of relationship and connection to God. So, when we think about Christ being in us, say, we're going to have a sermon today about Christ being in you, I suspect that the concept where our minds goes to, at least for most of us, is the idea of being like Christ, which is great. Which is great. That's where we're going to start. I think that's where our minds tend to go with this idea. And we would just call that this whole notion of being like Him in the sense of our character. Since none of us live up to that yet, and we are working on that as this growth in process, it's not just about having the character of Christ, it's also about having the character transformation towards the image of Christ. We pray about these things. I don't remember the wording of prayers today, but we've all heard this, right, many, many, many times in our life. Lord, help us to be more like Jesus. That's what we say. I want to be more like Jesus. Or maybe we say it, same concept, different words. Thank you for sending Jesus. He's our perfect example. And that whole idea of Him being our example means I see Him, I see who He is, and I want to be more like Him. And I want to see that model and more closely imitate that model. We have it in our songs. We sang this morning, Oh, to be like Thee. We may sing a song, Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, right? Let Jesus be seen in me. We sing, Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. We sing, Make me a servant just like Your Son, right? We sing all the time about it. That's this idea, and it's a great idea. And so that's where we're going to start in this series, is where our minds tend to start. If we want to say Christ in me is you can see Christ in me. I'm acting like Christ. I'm behaving like Christ. You can look at me and see me doing things like, oh, Christ would do that. That's Him acting out Christ. That's Christ and His character and His nature in me and growing in me. And so that's really our goal. Our goal is that really, truly, not in superficial ways, but in deep ways, in changing who I am, growing to be more like Jesus every way and every day. To be growing in that direction in my life. Here's how Paul put it, if you did turn to Galatians 4. Paul is concerned about the Galatians and they're drifting from Christ. It's a different gospel and he's exacerbated. How can you guys be doing this? And he calls them my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Do you see that? It's a powerful, dramatic picture. What's Paul comparing himself to? Paul says that his preaching and teaching in the gospel for these people is like a woman in labor. It is the labor pains, and that what he's in is in this anguish of labor pains as he's trying to deliver not a human child in that sense, but Christ, this new birth for the Galatians, for all people. Now, there's some preachers that, you know, maybe live a fairly easy, cushy life, and if they compared their preaching ministry to labor pains, the mothers among you would be like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Paul, I believe it. Paul did labor. Paul did have labor pains. He literally was killing himself, right? Dying every day. to spread the gospel, to pray for people, his concern for people, his love for them, his not giving up on them through the pains of all that. So Paul says, I'm trying to give birth to Christ in you, and it's hard, it's miserable to do this. But that's the idea. This is a painful process of this new birth, me becoming a new person in Christ. Our theme verse of the year is Colossians 1:27. What does Paul say just a few lines earlier in the same chapter? It says, and so from the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Wanting every part of my life in every way fully pleasing to God. Bearing fruit in every good work, right? In all these different ways, bearing fruit for God. And increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power. Do you see the kind of the words that are being emphasized here? Fully pleasing, bearing fruit in every good work, strengthened with all power. It's this all, it's this fullness idea. According to his glorious might, because it's God's strength that accomplishes this, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father. This is the idea, that I'd be fully pleasing to Christ, changing, growing, accomplishing things, bearing fruit, strengthened with all power. What that means is that the growth that Christ is interested in our lives, is not a buffet line where I get to pick and choose kind of what I'm interested in growing in. We have a tendency to want to just grow in the things I'm already kind of good at. So I'm good at basketball, I'm not good at soccer, so let's forget about soccer and just focus on the basketball thing, and that's what I'll play and enjoy and develop my skills over here. We can't do that as Christians. We can't say, well, I'm already kind of good at teaching, so I'll just be a teacher, but these other areas of of my life in Christ, worship, serving others, you name it, I can kind of forget that because I'm going to focus on this thing over here. That's going to be my basketball. That's not what growth in Christ is going to look at. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone's going to be a teacher. That doesn't mean that everyone's going to be a song leader. But this whole idea of I'm just going to pick what I want to grow in, we need to abandon that. We want to grow in all the ways that Christ wants me to grow, in the insufficiencies in my character, that Christ would shore those up, build those up, to be more like him in all the ways he wants me to grow. It can't be about what I would like to grow in. It can't even be limited to the strengths of the people around me. Well, we're going to be a church that does this, or these people are good at that, and so I'm just going to focus on that as well. It could be that there are things that the members of Lakeview here are weak in it. And it'd be great for you to step up and to grow us and help us to be different and growing and more Christ-like in that certain area. All of this is me trying to be like Christ in every way. Ephesians 4:15, our scripture reading for this morning. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who's the head, into Christ. He's the head, we're the body, he controls. And so whatever the head wants, we need to be doing that, growing up into the head. The head is perfect and fully developed. We are behind. We're behind in the game. We're the ones needing to grow up in every way into Christ, who is our head. That's the idea. And so our goal really truly is to be growing like Jesus Christ in every way. That might not be our goal. It could be that as we look in our hearts, we see that there may be different goals that I find myself living out or wanting to live out. One alternate goal that can look like the Christian life, but is not the Christian life, is just a life of rule keeping. That you becoming a Christian is there's kind of this stuff you got to do. So come to church this many times a week. Make sure you put some money in the plate. Make sure you do this. And you're going to have to make some changes. But once you make the changes, you're good to go. And life in Christ is just kind of about living out the set of rules. There's a lot of world religions that end up being just kind of like this. You want to be in our club? Here's the rules you keep. Some of them hard, some of them easy, some of them fun, some of them not so fun. But just kind of do these external things. That's not what life in Christ is about. It's not about a list of rules, some things that we check off. Maybe this looks better. Maybe I think life in Christ is just about high morality, right? So I've got this really high level of morality. So I've got really high expectations for myself. But that can end up being just another form of rule keeping. Except the rules that look really good. And I have this high level of morality. And I hold myself and others to a high standard. But that's not Christ's goal, is just morality, of just being a really good person, or a really, really good person. Christ has a lot more intended for us than that. Here's kind of a modern idea of niceness, right? That life in Christ is just about being nice, and being nice to everybody, and kind of smoothing things over in this world, and just putting a smile on people's faces. Our world really likes that idea. But niceness is not Christ's goal for us. And here, this idea of just getting by could be maybe a more subtle failure that we fall into. The idea of just getting by here, what I'm trying to get at with that is, yeah, I'm sincere. I'm here to serve Christ. I really believe in Him. I really am trying to follow Him. It's sincere. But I kind of have a mindset of, wouldn't it be nice if this life was kind of as easy as possible? Like, okay, if the Lord calls me to X, Y, or Z, fine. But, oh, it'd be great if I never had to have this bad thing or that bad thing or that bad thing. Like, look, if like 1% of Christians can get to heaven without major suffering, can I please be in that 1%? That kind of idea. That's not what we want in Christ. We don't want an idea of hopefully I'll not have to suffer that much. Wouldn't that be great? Let me just give a practical example of that to make a comparison. Last week at this great camp, it was good for me spiritually. I think it was good for the kids who were there spiritually. None of us as counselors went into that camp thinking, man, I sure hope we suffer the most possible this week coming up. Like, I hope the kids in my cabin are throwing up in the middle of the night. I hope there are injuries. I hope there is blood, sweat, and tears. No, we're not thinking that, right? We're not going into camp kind of hoping for worst-case scenario. I sure hope every activity is rained out and the kids are just bored out of their mind. That's not what we're thinking. What are we thinking? We're thinking, I hope this goes off great. I hope that this is wonderful. I hope it doesn't rain. I hope that there's no injuries, right? That's kind of what we're thinking. But instead, a more mature perspective on our life is not that, hey, I hope this is great, but hey, whatever needs to happen. Maybe it would be better if there's blood, sweat, and tears, you name it. I'm not just trying to get by, even in my sincere walk in Christ, hoping to avoid the more painful elements of what some people have to suffer. Really, it's more, God, let thy will be done. The whole concept of trying to just get by. In my Christian life, I sure hope I'm not one of those people that has to suffer a lot to get to heaven. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense because our goal in this life is not that different from the goal of the life to come. That it's not like, well, this is my chance to try to please Christ, but then I'm done with that. Really, my goal is that Christ will be done. I'm here to please Christ, and that's true of this life and the next. Now, don't get me wrong, the next life will not have the suffering. The next life will be a life of no tears, and God will remove all our sorrows, and there's no fear, there's glory and triumph and joy and peace. That's the world to come that Christians are headed towards. But we're still trying to please Christ there. And we're still trying to please Christ now. And so I want Christ's will to be done then, when things are a lot better. But I'm also wanting Christ's will to be perfectly accomplished now. This is the passage that brought this whole idea to my attention recently. I think it was the Revelation class on Tuesday night at the Churchills that where we made this point. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6. We know that while we're at home in the body, that's now, in our bodies, we are away from the Lord. We walk by faith, not by sight. Yet we're of good courage. We'd rather be away from the body. It'd be great for us to go to be with the Lord in our death. We'd rather be away from the body at home with the Lord, But either way, whether we're at home in the body or away from the body, we make it our aim to please Christ. So right now, today, we who are alive, our aim is to please Christ. And when we die and we go to be with Christ, our aim is still to please Christ. And so it's the same life goal. It's the same life goal that Christ will be done, that I want Him to be pleased, that what He wants becomes my job to bring that about. Whether at home or away in our life, we're aiming to please Christ. And because we're going to keep that goal in the world to come, we better start that goal now. Can we develop this sense? Can we develop this sense in our life that, you know, I've got these areas of weakness, I've got these areas of strength, but instead of just trying to highlight and coast by my areas of strength, if this is a weak area, that's what I need to focus on. That I need to shore up my weakness. And you can imagine an athlete naturally thinking along these lines, right? An athlete who is going to state competition for his event in track and field. He's looking at what are the muscle groups that I need to work on to make sure that I'm the strongest potential. What are the skills that in this event that I need to develop to make sure that every little part of this is strong? Instead of just going off the strengths, what are the weakest links in my chain to highlight and work on? Can we develop that sense in my Christian life then? If this is my weakest area, yeah, let's make sure that I work on that. Because the fact of the matter is, Christ can grow me in those ways, and Christ does grow me in these ways in ways I never would have thought, never would have imagined. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, so now keep obeying. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because it's God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God's at work in us so that we would desire and want what's good, and then to help us to accomplish what's good. Philippians 2, verse 13. God is at work in you both to desire for our wants, what we want to happen in this life, and to work to accomplish for God's good pleasure. I don't want to spend too much time on this verse because I'm hoping to have a future lesson just focus on Philippians chapter 2 overall. But do we see the point that God is at work in me? I'm doing my part, working out my salvation in fear and trembling, and God is doing His, working in me, in my heart, in my life, in my mind, and in my body, to make me everything that Christ wants me to be. Familiar passage that Nathan Ward highlighted for us. Now to Him who's able to do far more abundantly, exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think or imagine or would even think to pray about, to Him who can do far more than that, according to the power at work, where? The work within us. To that God be glory in Christ and in the church for all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I think a good question for us to ask ourselves is this: what is our weakest area in Christ? I don't mean you're going to have an easy answer for that. You might go, well, JD, I know exactly what I need to work on. I've got that pet sin, that thorn in my side that I am struggling with. You may have that. Or you may not have that, where you just can just sense this glaring weakness in your Christian life. But here's what we need to see is whatever that weakest area is, God can make that strong. God can make that, believe it or not, because you should believe it, God can make that area to be your strongest area. That could be the area that is your legacy, that people, after you're gone, say, he was so strong in that way. And you would never believe that that person used to be weak in that way. God can make that our most strong, most Christ-like characteristic. Now, we're all works in progress, and we have limited time. The promise is we will be completed in the resurrection. That we will be made to be fully like Christ, fully glorified. In the meantime, we have failing bodies. We only have so many days. And it could be I don't get as far in my growth in Christ as I would like to before my time is up. That doesn't change the older you get. You're not 70 years old. Like, you know what? If I can just make it to 80, I'm going to be really fully there. That's not what we're thinking. So we have limited time, but I'm growing in Christ. And so time is a factor, but God gives the growth, and God can make that to be your strongest area. I think that this happened, it seems to me, happened in my life, where years ago, more when I first started preaching, I said, my Bible study, I think, is very strong. My prayer life is not very strong. So I really worked on growing in prayer. And years go by, and one day I say to myself, you know, I feel like I'm really strong in prayer, and my Bible study is lacking now. Like it flipped. So I'm going to make them both strong. But you can, I think, experience that exact same kind of thing in your life. Maybe one of these jumps out to you. Self-control. Can I grow in my self-control that's not fun, but is absolutely necessary, and God helps us with that? My sexual purity. What I say, the use of the tongue in my speech, growing to be selfless, growing to be wise. You may think, I got no wisdom. I don't have anything figured out down here. Marriage difficulties. Your marriage may be very weak and struggling. God can make that to be very strong. The broken relationships in your life, God can transform. We're not promised any one of those specifically, but all of these are the things that God does do and will work on in our lives according to His will. And as we give this encouragement of, hey, think about what are the ways you're weak in, what are the ways that you can see I need to grow in, and God can do it, and I've got to do it, and I've got to grow in Christ-likeness in any area that Christ wants me to grow in. Don't think that that is you on your own effort. And we've already said many times today, God gives the growth. God gives the increase. It's His strength at work in us. So there's no need to fear. There's no need to worry. God can do all these things. But it's not just me and God. Depart, be warmed, and change your life. Go and read your Bible this week. Come back to me next Sunday and tell me how it went. We have a part in each other's lives to play to help each other grow in Christ. It's not just my responsibility for me on my own in isolation to be growing. It's also our jobs to help each other and to build up each other. Back to our scripture reading from just a few minutes ago, Ephesians 4:11. Christ gave all these different kinds of teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, all these are teachers, teaching us, filling us up with the will of God and the Word of God. That's Christ's gift to us. Why? To equip the saints to do the work of ministry. The teachers don't do all the work. The teachers help all of us so that all of us are doing the work for building up the body of Christ. I do not believe that's about evangelism. You could see that being building up the body of more people becoming Christians, but I don't think that's his focus at all here. This is the body of Christ, us as Christians, growing in strength. Until when? Until we all attained the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. Here's the goal, to mature manhood, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the apostles' job and the prophets' job, the writers of the Bible, passed then down to us and we who keep studying it and reading it and teaching it? What's the goal? For us to have maturity. For all of us to have maturity. To matureness in Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We don't talk that way. We might say it more like this. The measure of Christ's full stature. His height. His strength. I want to grow up into Christ's full stature. To be like Him in all these ways. No longer like children. Children easily deceived, easily misled, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by all these false teachings and false ideas, by human cunning, by Satan's lies, craftiness, and deceitful schemes, but instead speaking the truth in love. It's not just speaking the truth, it's living in truth. Truthing in love. We are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. When we looked at this verse a few minutes ago, 10 minutes ago in the lesson, the emphasis was the every, right? We're trying to emphasize at that point in the lesson, grow up in every way into Him who's the head. here's the emphasis now that it wants to see in this verse, is we build each other up to accomplish this. We live out the truth and speak the truth to each other. He doesn't say you by yourself grow up in every way into the head. He says we speak the truth to each other to grow up in every way into Him who's the head, from whom the whole body, when every part is working as it should, makes the body grow. It's a long sentence, so don't get lost in it. The whole body, when it's joined together, held together, all these little parts connected, the whole body, when every part is doing what it should, the whole body makes the body grow. Do you by yourself make the body grow? Do you by yourself make yourself grow? No, the whole body makes the body grow. If you were to use this and make this illustration, right, it would be, we all need the nutrition, we all need the exercise, so the feet bring me over to the medicine cabinet, and the hand grabs the water so that I can grab the pills and take the medicine, and then my legs carry me to work out so I get the exercise. We're all doing our part. We're all doing the things that the whole body needs. The eyes are guiding and directing, and the ears are hearing what I need to hear, and everything is working together, the whole body making the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Love is this relationship that we have with each other. If we're not growing as we should individually, is it because we're not as connected to the saints as we should be? And if we have very little connection to Christians, no wonder we're not growing as we should. Because this is not a solo effort. Christ growing in each of us is also connected to Christ and His body, which each of us are a part. We can't do it on our own. We need each other. We all bring blessings to this family. How can we speak the truth in love and build up the body together? That's our goal, is to be fully Christ-like. And so we come back to the quote that we started with. If you think of this world as a place intended simply for happiness, you find it quite intolerable, miserable, unendurable. If we think of this life as a place of training and correction, it's not so bad. The focus of our lesson was to grow in Christ in every way, in deep ways, in our greatest weaknesses, in these places in our heart where God needs to step in and grow us to be more like Christ. And if our goal is earthly pleasure, this whole journey we're describing here, it doesn't make any sense. You know, if your life is just about enjoyment and living it up down here, stick with the basketball, forget about the soccer, forget about the things you're not good at, highlight your strengths, and just enjoy some things along the way. But the great irony is in this country, where we have had riches beyond what anything our ancestors could have dreamed, where we have, we think about King Solomon and all his riches, who did not have air conditioning. King Solomon, who did not have the variety of food that we all have at our grocery stores, that did not, I guarantee you, his mattress was not as supportive and comfortable as our mattresses are supportive and comfortable. And yet we have a country with these riches and we are miserable. We are miserable, we are depressed, we are stressed, and we don't enjoy life. And so if we think of this world as a place for me to find happiness, it's not going to work. But if I think of this world as a place for me to grow and become like Christ, then I look and see all these blessings. And I thank God for them as He grows me in Christ. Because all of this is really about to make me glorious as my King is glorious, so that I can be glorified as my King has already been glorified. And all of this is a journey to make me glorious in Christ. And that makes all of these troubles well worth the journey. Here's our invitation verse for this morning. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or endurance or patience. When my faith is tested, it helps me be stronger. Greater endurance, greater patience. And let that endurance and patience and steadfastness have its full work, its full accomplishment, so that you can be perfect, so that you can be complete, so that you can lack nothing. That's our goal. is to lack nothing, to be perfect and complete in Christ. That is difficult, but that's why we build each other up in love as we go on this journey together. Can we help you in your journey of growth in Christ, to come to know Christ and obey Christ and grow in Christ? We want to. That's what we need to be for each other. We want to be able to encourage and help you along the way. Let us know that even now as we stand and sing a song of invitation.
Save my life.